yesterday's news.
Hello, welcome to Old News, the programme and podcast which looks at news of the day through the papers of yesterday. The Guild has to be this week, really, doesn't it? The Manx Music Festival Guild, it's been known as for, almost as long as I can remember, probably longer than that. And of course, yes, it has featured heavily, as you might well imagine, in the press over the last century and more, it has to be said. And you forget just how big it has been in its pomp. If we go back to the Allaman Examiner, Saturday, April the 15th, 1899, the Manx Language Movement, an article by Mr. E.E. Fournier. The Western Mail Cardiff has a well-written article by Mr. E.E. Fournier, the Honorary Secretary of the forthcoming Pan-Celtic Congress to be held in Dublin in 1900. Mr. Fournier was the gentleman who distributed the prizes at the Guild Music Festival, brackets Manx section, held last month. He says, "The Cornish language has been dead for over a century. Admirers of the English speaker have for some time been complacently predicting the successive extinction of the five remaining Celtic languages, the Manx language being designated as the next victim of the triumphant march of the Anglo-Saxon. But the unexpected has happened. We have been witnessing within the last few months a reawakening interest in the Manx Gaelic, which has now culminated in the establishment of a Manx language society consisting, as those acquainted with the island will readily perceive, of the best elements of the little Manx nation. It's been my pleasure and privilege to witness what may be called the first Manx Eisteddfod and to convey to the organisers of that most interesting festival the good wishes of brother Celts across the sea. And I must acknowledge that, whatever the encouragement which they may have derived from that fraternal message, the inspiration which Gales and Cymru may derive from the unique spectacle I have witnessed is of incomparably greater value. The musical competitions at Douglas organised by the Aldman Fine Arts and Industrial Guild have for several years fostered the musical talent which is so profusely in evidence in the Isle of Man. Same now, I think, isn't it? They are held at the time of year when the island is free from the Lancashire tripper, and the native farmer and fisherman form the larger portion of the population of Ellanbannan. The choral and solo contests I witnessed prove the existence of musical gifts among the rural population, which I think are quite out of proportion to the 57,000 souls constituting the total winter population. This musical talent is in itself a Celtic trait, but the chief interest of the festival culminated, as far as the larger Celtic world is concerned, in the Manx song and reading competitions which took place, and the meeting at which the Manx Language Society was formed. This meeting was something of a startling revelation to the Manx people themselves. There were a large number of venerable old men who had come from remote parts of the island to raise their voices in favour of their ancestral tongue. There were also the leading lights of the Manx Society, including Mr. A.W. Moore, the well-known Manx scholar and Speaker of the House of Keys, Mrs. Lawson, the talented Honorary Secretary of the Guild, and a large number of other ladies and gentlemen. He concludes, "I should like to warn Welshmen, Irish and Bretons against undervaluing the young Manx movement. These Manx have been for long centuries living under their own laws and institutions. They have thus acquired a self-reliance and independence which compensates to a very great extent for their numerical inferiority. Their language is Gaelic indeed, but spelt according to a peculiar phonetic system which marks it off as a distinct from both Irish and Scottish Gaelic." Good to see Manx going strong. Still now, of course, in Manx classes and very much back on the ascendance. The Peel City Guardian of Saturday, April the 10th, 1909, 10 years later. Manx Music Festival, Southport Praise. The following notes on the Manx Music Festival are taken from the Southport Journal of last Friday. "Southport people with a weakness for music ought to take an interest in the Manx Music Festival," it starts, "if only for the fact that but for the impression made upon the mind of a Southport enthusiast who had attended it year after year and had seen a constantly rising standard of excellence, there would have been no Southport competitive festival in existence today. Many people would, I believe, cross to Douglas if they realised the special features of interest about this, which is now the event in the island in which interest is most universally taken of any in the year, not even excepting Timbal Day." Well, "finding myself once more amongst the islanders," the writer continues, "whom one comes to respect the better one comes to know them, I betook myself on Thursday last to visit the Palace, which is so well adapted in sounding and holding capacity to big musical events like this. And by big, they mean big. Its ample floor and spacious balconies were as great a sight as ever. Between 6,000 and 7,000, say three times as many as our largest hole will hold, that's over in Southport, of course, were present. Excluding the very young and very old, this would mean that every household in every town and hamlet on the island was, on the average, represented. 18 years ago, it began a year after Morecambe, at the time of the trial experiment, there was probably no part of Great Britain where the cultivation of music in its higher forms was at a lower ebb. The all-round excellence is now such that the last day is well worthy of a visit as any Lancashire festival. Rarely at Morecambe has a more poetic, better balanced or more finished performance been heard than that of Mr. T.P. Farger's Douglas Choir, which came out at the top of this occasion in the 60 Voices Challenge Shield competition. The win was all the more remarkable, as this was the first time of Mr. Farger's conductorship. It goes on, the enthusiasm is such as to shame the comparative coldness of our Southport audiences. It is worth the journey to see the roof-raising reception given to that white-haired, grand old lady, Miss Wood, the everywhere acknowledged mother of music on the island, as she goes up to receive from the hands of the governor her various prizes as conductor of this or that society. Round after round goes up, and bow after bow is made, until one wonders when they will have sufficiently vented the admiring affection which they feel for one who has laboured so long and unselfishly in every corner and hamlet of the island as a teacher and preacher of the gospel of good music for the people. You've got to love that language, haven't you? It goes on in similar tones for quite a while, but ends up with a note of, well, perhaps, complaint. Not everything had my approval, the writer finishes. The music selecting committee had not shown sufficient forethought to ensure a programme for the last night which would be sufficiently varied in its character. The governor, Lord Raglan, in fact, complained in a good-humoured way that its very melancholy character had made him positively ill. Well, the vast part of it was good, though. That's the good news. In 1911, a couple of years later, in the Examiner of Saturday, April the 8th, oh dear, calamity, Manx Music Festival. One or two little errors crept into the Examiner report of the Manx Music Festival competitions. It was, for instance, stated that the placings in the choral sight reading test were as follows. First, Andreas Jueff Society. Second, Peel Choral Society. Third, Laxey Choral Society. The correct order of awards in the class was, in fact, first, Andreas Jueff Society. Second, Laxey Choral Society. Third, Peel Choral Society. I feel there were tears at bedtime. By the time we get to 1914, of course, the outbreak of the Great War, the Ramsey Courier, Friday, September the 25th, Manx Music Festival to go on. The Manx Music Festival Committee held a meeting at the Town Hall in Douglas and considered the advisability of proceeding with the arrangements for the next festival, March the 23rd, 4th and 5th, 1915. It was decided to go forward with the arrangements for the holding of the festival as usual, provided the subscribers and choirs and competitors generally can be relied upon to assist to their utmost ability. If the committee are assured of the wholehearted support and cooperation, the issue of the syllabus will be definitely decided at a meeting of the committee to be held a month hence. The secretary of the committee has communicated with the Ramsey Choral Society on the matter, and a meeting will probably be held next week. 1935, so after the Great War, before the Second War, the Manx Music Festival, less entries than last year, we're told in the Alamann Examiner of May the 3rd of that year. Dramatic section very sound, previous high standards maintained, which was good to hear. The Manx Music Festival is losing none of its powers of attraction for Manx people. The 44th Guild, as it's more popularly known, indeed it is, staged at the Palace this week, not the Villa, you note, has drawn 2,167 vocalists, choristers, musicians, dancers and budding actors and actresses from all the corners of the island to participate in its 417 classes, and a fine spirit of enthusiasm has prevailed throughout the week. The drama contest has again packed the huge Colosseum on two successive nights and is definitely established in the public favour as the outstanding event of the Guild. Drama, there you go, you see. 10 one-act plays were presented on Monday and Tuesday by teams from North, South, East and West, and at the close of a contest in which the general standard was good, the trophy was won by a new team, the Castletown Players. don't think they're in existence anymore. The Cleveland Medal Contest also retains a high place in the Guild, and here again the premier honour in the vocal class was carried off by a newcomer, the winner being Mr. J. Curran of Castletown, who was a bass. In the general class, such merit was displayed by new and youthful talent, and one of the most gratifying features of this year's Guild was the revelation that there is an abundance of promising material in the island to carry on our best traditions as a musical and cultured nation. And then followed column upon column of results with who had won what. Does that still happen? I confess I hadn't looked at the paper for a while. 1939. The outbreak of the Second War, of course. This is the Isle of Man Times, Saturday, April the 22nd, so a short time before war was declared. The Manx Music Festival, next week's competitions. Haydn Wood to conduct own composition. Once again, the Manx Music Festival is the topic of the moment, and the committee are to be congratulated on the success which has attended their efforts for this year's festival has attracted an entry of 588, the highest number for a considerable time. So you can see the numbers have sadly dwindled over the years when you think that there were over 2,000 entrants in 1935, and by 1939, 588, less than 600. The musical and dancing sessions will be held from Monday to Thursday next, inclusive the prize distribution and concert taking place in the Palace Ballroom on the Thursday evening. From 9 a.m. to 4:45 p.m. on Monday, piano, violin and junior orchestral classes will be heard, and in the afternoon, lovers of dancing will be drawn to the competitions being held and adjudicated by Miss Lillian Oakeshott. The special classes begin at 6 p.m. in the ballroom, and an excellent entry has been received. Tuesday morning and afternoon have been devoted to junior solos and choirs, with a tenor and bass duet as the last item before the tea interval. Two solo classes, the Mixed Quartet, a class for senior orchestras, and the Brass Band Contest are scheduled for Tuesday evening. The masked bands will be conducted by the adjudicator for this competition, Mr. F. Mortimer, a well-known figure in the world of brass band music. And Wednesday provides an interesting selection of competitions, opening with the two piano classes. Thursday is choir day, and the concert in the evening will be one of the musical sessions to close. The combined choral societies will sing with orchestral accompaniment Haydn Wood's Lochinvar, which will be personally conducted by this popular Manx composer, and The Last Post by Chas Villiers Stanford. Of course, yes, a massive supporter and writer of music still performed to this day, Haydn Wood. And finally, we look at the times of May the 8th, 1954, the Manx Music Festival. This week's competitions, Marks and Remarks. So not just columns of marks, but you would actually have some of the comments made on your performance by the adjudicator published in the papers, if anyone remembers that. Competitions in the 62nd Manx Music Festival are taking place this week. Below, we give the adjudicator's remarks on the first, second and third competitors in each of the classes, together with the marks in all cases. So we look at Monday's results. Solo for girls, 15 and under 18. The test piece was Snowflakes. Mara Gelling got 85 marks. Looks like she won. The adjudicator says, look to your stance. I think your hands are too high. Oh dear. Don't want your hands too high when you're singing. A smooth voice, quite steady, with the attraction of personality. Be careful of your fortes. Don't let them become too hard, she is told. Keep the focus of your voice up all the time. Once or twice it slipped. This was an extremely good performance, though. Good to hear. And second, Enid Kringle Arbery and Susan Kerfey on 84 marks. Miss Kringle, a voice of nice quality, clear and vibrant. What's the last asset? It can easily turn into a liability. A nice personality with sincerity. This is a voice with room for excellent development, we're told. Some of your upper notes had a thrill in them. Poetic. Watch a tendency to sharpness. Well sung. While Miss Kerfey is told, keep your fingers steady. Oh dear, a fidgeter. A nice clear voice with a sense of expression. Direction excellent. Will you get your jaw a little looser, especially on the upper vowels? Very rhythmic and good sense of style. The end was well sung. I enjoyed this. Try to keep your voice steady at all times. Never easy when you're probably 14 years old and stood on the stage in the Royal Hall, it has to be said. Then as now, break a leg, the best of British and Manx to all competitors this year, next year, and hopefully in the decades to come. Manx Music Festival, the Guild, wonderful to still have it as part of the Manx artistic calendar. And let's hope with the addition of new classes it will go from strength to strength. That's about it this week. Until next week, cheerio. You're gonna be yesterday's news.